I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we're joined by Mr. Peter Schriepel. Did I get that right?
Yep, Schriepel's correct.
Good. Who is a model electric plane builder. Well, now, he's gone beyond that, because now you've built a full scale.
That'd be correct, yeah. There's basically a giant blown-up model airplane over there that I had to sit in and fly around in.
That, I like how he says it, that I had to sit in and fly. It's like, oh, what a hardship.
Wait a minute. I can't imagine this. I'm thinking of an airplane built out of foam board, and he's flying around in it.
Yeah, well, this was built out of extruded polystyrene that you get at Lowe's. The insulation board.
That stuff?
Yep.
You're flying?
Yep.
He's a crazy man.
I think the receipts are somewhere taped to the airplane so you can see how much it costs.
Yeah, it's for the audit that'll eventually happen.
Yeah, really. Okay. Why the jump? You got tired of flying, building planes you couldn't ride around in?
Yeah, a little bit. Plus, I was like, well, do I want another ultralight like everyone else? Nah, let's just go ahead and just try to make something.
Well, it's definitely nothing like anything else. How's it fly?
Like a wet paper bag.
Okay, that sounds encouraging.
Wow.
It's actually just really slow. It just, you know, it flies, it takes off about 18 miles an hour, cruises around 35 or so. There's not a whole lot of airflow spilling over the surfaces, so you kind of move the stick a little bit more than it would have perhaps in a Cessna or something like that.
Well, that, and you only have ailerons on the top wing, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But you look at this thing and you're like, do we think this is actually flown? But apparently it has.
Yep, it's flown. I just flew it a few days before coming to Oshkosh and bringing it here. And we took that up to about 300 feet just circling around the my strip where I was flying it at.
Now, when you say it flies like a wet paper bag, sluggish, slow, unresponsive.
A little.
Stable as all get out, though?
Still stable, though, yeah.
Yeah, good. That's a nice thing.
It's good to know what a wet paper bag flies like, because we've had all kinds of comparisons this morning. You know, it flies like a 747, a B-52, a Piper Cub, now a wet paper bag.
Well, we're just encompassing the other end of the aviation spectrum.
Well, you know, you figure... What, 35 mile an hour cruise speed? That is very much an ultralight, and a lot slower than a lot of other people like to fly their ultralights. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What possessed you to build it?
I just wanted to fly. Like, I wanted to safely put together something. I mean, it is made out of foam, perhaps, but if you look underneath, it's got triangulation like a Pitot pole. The wings are the same thickness as a Pitot pole. So I was looking at other aircraft that have sort of similar flight characteristics, but even though those are it's a little overkill. For some of the stuff in there, because I can sit on the leading edge of that wing and it won't collapse or anything.
Well, not sure if I would do you that. Also laid a fiberglass mat on all the surfaces to stiffen it up. Right?
Yeah, it's all covered in fiberglass cloth.
Yeah. So that was the goal, just because you wanted to fly.
Just wanted to fly, yeah. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to make it slow, so if it does have a mishap, I'm only going so fast, so the energy dissipation is pretty low.
What's the line? It goes fast enough to just barely kill you?
Just barely kill you, yeah. Well,
he was going to use a ballistic parachute, but he figured the rocket would drag the airplane up.
Oh, that's still an order. I still haven't got it. I'm still waiting for BRS to deliver.
There you go.
I was going to say, what kind of an electric motor are you using in this aircraft?
This is a multi-engine.
Yeah. Ooh, all right.
Basically, they're two Hobby King motors. They're the Rotomax 150C electrics. I got some new motors coming, though, because those are specifically made for model airplanes. But I talked to another manufacturer called Sunny Sky, and they've got some, like, they're looking at more human-carrying options. So they've developed two motors for me that I'm going to be putting in the airframe, or maybe a new airframe, and testing out.
The new one will be supersonic.
Yeah. It'll be the world's first foam supersonic model airplane.
Fastest foamy ever.
Yeah, give me a few years. I got to make the A-10 first, the mini A-10.
Well, there you go. Now you're talking. Now that one I'd be interested in seeing.
You'll be in the Warbirds area next year with that, right?
With a one-quarter scale, but man-carrying A-10, twin-ducted fan.
That could be interesting.
Now, battery's next big issue. What's your battery life now?
Plus or minus 15 minutes. It's 15 minutes plus or minus 1 minute or two.
Okay.
So it's pretty terrible.
Well, that's what you expect. You know, it's your first attempt. The airplane's not necessarily aerodynamically clean.
Yeah, pretty much it's the worst possible thing you could ever do if you wanted to build an electric airplane. Because if you look at most electric aircraft, they're typically sailplanes, motor gliders, high-performance things, you know, really things with really clean numbers. I put together a biplane with, you know, flying wires and all that stuff, and it's just awful.
Essentially, you got
even the motor mounts are just laser cut wood. There's no streamlined fairings or anything. So
essentially, what he's doing is he's flying an electric barn door.
Yeah, yeah, he's flying in spite of his best efforts. Actually, and I must admit this, when my son and I first saw it, we were at a distance over by the flight line, And I actually said, oh, my God, that looks like something out of a Red Bull contest.
Oh, the futon, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen those. Yeah, you can put bars on some of those things probably would fly, some of them.
If they stayed together long enough.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't think they would stay together. That's the only thing. Cause right. At least my plane was out there during the storm and everything, so I was like, yeah, it's good. And we trailered down the highway at 80 miles an hour, so the tail didn't fall off or anything like that.
Well, that's good. You got a lot of strange looks, I'm sure.
Yeah, I kind of like it. That's why a lot of my friends told me, you shouldn't paint it. I'm like, I really wanted to paint it and put a cool paint scheme on it, but they're like, no, I don't paint it. I'm like, really? Well, I guess it's kind of funny watching people go out and freak out when they see the Lowe's icon on the back of
it. On the foam, yeah, yeah. Plus, you got to be careful. You paint it with the wrong paint, it'll eat right through the foam.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, so. You know, the other disadvantage to a paint job, too, is you're going to add a lot of weight to it. Mm-hmm. That's a very quick way of doing it.
Yeah. Okay, so he'll knock like 30 seconds off the flight time.
Well, you know, and here's the other part, too. You're flying for 15 minutes. What's your recharge time?
Probably around 8 hours or so.
Oh, so yeah. In other words, you've got to have multiple sets of batteries on this.
Yeah, yeah. How many kilowatt hours of capacity do you have on there now?
Not sure about kilowatt hours, but the battery pack capacity is 42,000 milliamps or 42 amp hours, I guess.
So, that's it?
Yeah, it's a small battery pack. It weighs about 30 pounds. So.
Wow.
So I definitely come under 103, even with the batteries in the airplane.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, here's the guy you should talk to about your batteries.
I need a battery pack for my scooter I've been riding around here.
Put a bunch of LiPos on it.
That's what I need, or some at least lithium ions. Mm.
So, yeah, because I was going to say, you're nothing but battery problems these days.
No. I've had no battery problems at all. It's just that I don't have range. It's about 14 amp hours, and that's just not enough.
You'll pardon me, but that sounds like a battery problem.
That's not a problem. Problem is when something doesn't work as it should.
Well, it's not
that is
as
an
it
underestimation
should.
Of capacity.
Okay.
See, he understands that.
Back to the airplane.
So what's next?
I don't really know. I'm trying to just balance the checkbook, I guess, because I got to figure out, like, yeah, you know, I built two airplanes already. I'm like, do I want to do another airplane? What should I do?
How about a submarine? There you go, flying without having to worry about air. Wait, that might be worse.
I don't know. Submarine's probably worse. Like, I don't really have a fear about the airplanes because I've done them for so long. But submarine, that's a whole nother animal.
Yeah. You just, from what I, you build it to be slightly buoyant so that the wings pull it down, not up. There you go.
That's how they do it in the hobby world, anyway.
Yeah. How about a helicopter? Nobody's done that yet. An electric-powered man-carrying helicopter.
It's power consumption. A helicopter uses tremendous
amount
of power.
Well, I guess if you count quads.
Yeah, I've seen people do at least conversions in like an R-44. I've seen that one in a Schweizer 300, I believe.
Really?
But they didn't fly for very long.
Yeah, like 30 seconds and then...
2 minutes and that was it.
Mm-hmm. You make it a hybrid. There you go. Make it a hybrid. Take one of them little Honda suitcase generators and mount it right behind your seat.
The wattage of things put out are pretty terrible. It would never maintain flight. It would keep it on the ground, probably.
Ah, it's taxi power only.
Just what you want. Put a lot of money out for an electric helicopter and all you can do is taxi it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were taking pictures of the airplane going, whose motors are these? I've never seen motors this big. So... Nice. And it looked like you're obviously using model ESCs, and you had some sort of interface to interface the throttle quadrant, and it has two levers because it's a twin, into these ESCs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was like one step above using the radio transmitter in the airplane.
I didn't want to link like that. Like, just like if in case there was like some kind of like solar flare activity or whatever, because I've flown some models during that stuff, and I lost link. I was like... There's no way I'm carrying a transmitter into that and relying on that to keep me linked. So I basically took these $3 servo testers, disconnected the potentiometers on them, and wired it to a sliding potentiometer and just, you know, use that.
Oh, there it is. My goodness, there it is.
That's exactly the way I figured it would be done.
Mm-hmm. I have never seen a servo tester, so I didn't know they existed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're out there.
They're really cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go
to
Flight Desk, you can buy them on their store.
There you go.
I had a leftover from when I was working at Flight Desk. I was like, I got two of these. Let me just hotwire these bad boys to work with these sliders. And
see if they work.
There it is. See
that? The heart of innovation.
Well, you know, there's a lot of good reasons to adapt off-the-shelf equipment. Why reinvent the wheel for the 100th time?
I understand it, but I don't expect that he'll get sponsorship from the servo tester company.
Well, plus I'm broke.
Well, there's why he needs the sponsorship.
That's right. Hey, you know, another interesting side effect is should you do a water landing, the thing's definitely going to float.
Well, the funny thing about that is if you look closely at the landing gear, I put pins in them, so they're screwed down for the air show, obviously, if I was intending to hop it down the runway or something like that. But during the test phase, I have pins in the landing gear, so they're stuck up real tight. But if you pull a cable in the cockpit, I can release the landing gear and drop it. So it's not necessarily retractable, but I can drop them for landing out in the grass.
Well, what's your landing speed? 6 miles an hour?
About 18.
Okay. So
pretty slow.
Yeah, it's not much of a slide.
Yep.
A couple of skids on the bottom, and you'd be great.
I was going to say, why would you go with two throttles and two motor controls? It seems to me you'd do better off with an ESC that can control both motors, because that way you don't have to worry about one engine quitting on you, one motor quitting on you while you're in the air, asymmetrical thrust and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. The reason why is they're brushless motors. They each have to have their own controllers. Nobody makes a really combination controller. They do for like some of the drone worlds, but even then, it's individual controllers, but they're all stuck to one single board.
Right, it's individual channels. Yeah, okay. Because the brushless has to, the controller has to sense the position of the motor. Mm-hmm. So using the dead phase.
Yeah.
Anyway. So is your flight test program complete?
For that airframe, probably so. It's probably time to move on to the next thing.
So. Okay, so now you need a hanger to, hey, Smithsonian, you need a place to hang this thing.
I was going to say, it's probably a for sale sign on it right now, you know.
Well, my God, he's only got about $37 of materials in it, except for the motor and the battery. Those are the expensive parts.
Fiberglass is expensive, too, you know.
Yeah, that stuff isn't cheap.
No.
It's messy, too.
But fortunately, he didn't use very much of it, so there you go.
It's a small airplane.
I was thinking of building a quadcopter rubber band powered. Do you think that would work?
If it went up and if it just went straight up, it'd probably work.
Yeah, for about, 5 seconds?
Yeah.
It'd be the landing, as always. That's a hard part.
Yep. Oh, no, they land. It may not be graceful, but it will land.
Yeah, but you'll never use it again.
That's okay.
What's the point? Landing. I don't build flying machines for one shot only.
It still flew.
That's right. There you go. There's the claim. Okay, we've been talking to Peter Schriepel, who built a foam ultralight. Yep. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.